the UK government plans to introduce a domestic violence register to track offenders. The idea actually has some merit in terms of tracking women that are violence prone, in the same way that conducting paternity tests at birth would quickly uncover unfaithful women. But very few of the thousands of women that cause violence would ever be put on the list, because the purpose of such a register is not to reduce domestic violence, but to target men. In fact, the very proposal of a register constitutes the attack on men. It matters not how many men may actually go on it. It wouldn't even matter if no men at all went on the list. It's the idea itself, the idea that we need a government list to tackle male domestic violence. That is the weapon being used against men. I can think of a few alternative lists that would be much more useful for society. What would the consequences be if film, television, and news media were to treat women in the same way that men are treated? Imagine this. You open the morning paper and see. You turn on the TV and the first item on the news. You listen to a radio in-car discussion. That evening. This ceaseless barrage over years and decades, this tirade, would lead to courses in schools about how women kill. What is it in the female mind that makes mothers kill? We'd take children away and put them in institutions. It would no longer be right for a mother to raise a child, or even keep a child. When you saw a woman on the street pushing a child's pram, you'd wonder if she was abusing the child, or if the child would even see out the day. When she went into baby changing areas of shops, you'd think, is the baby going to be safe? Why does she want to be alone with the child? What's she doing in there?
I think most female sexual abuse goes undetected, and in fact, I think that a lot of people cover up for their mothers. The mother can disguise what she's doing, putting cream on the child, bathing the child, holding the child in bed. You know, society thinks, ooh, that's okay, because it's a mommy.
This is how poisonous it would be to make a problem with some women that murder and abuse their babies into a general problem with all women. Why are charities trying to sell this idea about men?
The same brush has been used to paint all men, you know, watch out for men.
These charities must be described for what they are. They are simply a front for money-making activities designed to further the cause of feminism.
Just like rape and child abuse, domestic violence inflames people. It's a hot button, a red flag that gets everyone's emotions high and guarantees attention.
What's wrong, McFly? Chicken?
The people that orchestrate domestic violence campaigns are well aware of this and use it to maximum effect, to develop political capital and income. They'll spin whatever lies and exaggerations are necessary to get it.
Domestic violence is a means to an end, a cash cow. It's used as a wedge to acquire funds and political capital for other projects in the feminist agenda.
What major agenda for the feminist group is to make sure that they have the maximum amount of financial income from the victims of domestic violence. So therefore they have a certain number of refuges, something like 424 across the country, but they in a way keep what they're doing secret because they are unaccountable.
What happens is that all of the money generated out of the invented problem of domestic violence, and this is tens of millions from government, lottery grants and donations from a well-meaning public, is delivered to refuges and counsellors and various domestic violence professionals.
The money then just seems to disappear. It can't be going to victims because there aren't enough women in refuges to account for all the money. So where is it going?
When two women in Haringey questioned where such money was going, they lost their jobs. As an example, they asked why £176,000 went towards helping Turkish and Kurdish victims of domestic violence in South Tottenham, when there were barely any residents in the area from these backgrounds. £176,000 of aid to help victims that simply didn't exist, yet the money somehow got spent.
This shows the strength and scale of the domestic violence industry. They lay claim to millions of pounds of funding, yet offer no justification or accountability. If it's questioned, people lose their jobs. This is massive corruption. So large, it's become extremely difficult to see.
Nobody denies or disputes that violence occurs in the home. However, we should ask ourselves this: Is it a big enough issue to justify the colossal national panic which has been made out of domestic violence towards women for the past 40 years? Or have we all been had?
Oh, I say it again, you've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok.
But why is there so much coverage? I mean, what's happening with this whole thing? I mean, why do the Home Office care so much about something which, well, how important is domestic violence? And
well, it is important to the people that are suffering from it. And I suppose if you're really truthful about it, you're never going to know the full extent because of the vast numbers of men and women that don't report it. But I think it's assuming proportions that it shouldn't be.
Home Office found 3 or 4 years ago that domestic violence in those homes of well below average income, domestic violence against women was 3 times the rate of domestic violence against men in households of well below average income. For the rest of the population, which is 75% of us, there was no difference. But you won't hear that publicised by the media either.
The reasons for domestic violence are often painfully obvious. It happens because of the stress of people stuck in poverty. It's most likely to occur in single mother households. It happens because of wild emotions in some intimate relationships. It happens because of personality disorders and moderate to severe mental health issues. It happens due to learned behaviour from upbringing. It can occur as a result of acute emotional distress. But what domestic violence is not, is a gender issue.
I think, personally, that domestic violence is the biggest social issue that we face in this generation. Partly because if, when a baby's born and the baby's brain is plastic, what the baby is experiencing in those early years of childhood will then become, if you like, a default in the brain for the rest of that child's life. And if the child is experiencing domestic violence, it becomes a learned pattern of behaviour. And thereafter, you will find that as we internalize our parenting, our primary caregivers, the children go on, in many cases, to become the people who are antisocial and will fill our mental hospitals and our prisons. So what we've done for so many centuries is to deal with the symptoms of problems of violence. I'm asking that we start at the beginning and educate parents into how important it is that their children can have their birthright of peace and harmony.
Going back to what the government's up to, reducing domestic violence was another of their very laudable aims in their supporting families document. But again, why do people commit domestic violence? Well, according to the government, it's because they don't realise it's wrong. So what's the solution to this problem? Well, we need an advertising campaign to teach men that domestic violence is wrong, and that would solve the problem. And we just thought this is such a serious problem, and that's such a shallow, trivial and ridiculous way of going about tackling it.
Well, it isn't simple. I mean, if it was simple, Solomon, thousands of years ago, would have known what to do with the two women who came to him with the child. No, this is human relationships, and they're infinitely complicated. I think, first of all, we have to get as far as possible, and we certainly did in this refuge, we got the law out of the whole equation. First of all, mediation is what needs to happen. That when she or he comes into a refuge, it is looked at and as far as possible mediated so that the children don't suffer. So we don't suddenly have not only a war between a couple, but a war between two stacks of solicitors and all the attendant people. Because you have to realise that domestic violence is a $1 million business industry. Not only do you have the lawyers fighting and filling their pockets, you have the psychologists, the psychiatrists, the expert witnesses in court, all the various agencies involved. It's like a massive circus. And it has a vested interest in continuing. We have to put a stop to all that. And the way to do that is to have highly trained workers in refuges who understand the issues. And no, there isn't a training for that sort of work at the moment, because it can't come out of books. It comes out of a deep understanding of human nature. And also, those of us, and I include myself, who've come from violence-prone families, dysfunctional violence-prone families, understand the issues and understand the strategies that people use for survival. First and foremost, is when a woman comes in, or even a man, and says, look, I am a victim of this situation, you have to say, you probably are a victim, but on the other hand, you made these choices, so let's look at why this ever happened and how we can change it round. And that's the beginning of the work you do.
The feminist propaganda and the help that the government is, the help that the government provides for women who experience domestic violence has resulted in a decrease in domestic violence toward men, not toward women. And my belief, for example, in America in the middle of the in the middle 70s, if you one was to look at domestic homicides, the same number of women as men were killed in domestic situations. There were about 1,500 male domestic homicides, 1,500 female domestic homicides. In other words, 30 years ago, men and women were killing each other at roughly the same rates. There's no difference between them. If you look at the figures for the past 5 years, there has been a change, and the change is this. Now, this is after billions upon billions of dollars of government funding for women's domestic violence shelters and support shelters. It's after 30 years of wholesale propaganda about domestic violence issues. And the results and the figures are now as this. The number of women who are killed is the same. The number of men who are killed have gone down. In other words, what has happened as a result of all the feminist-promoted intervention is that men have been saved, not women. And the reason for that can only be that the women who would have killed their partners in the old days can now pick up the phone instead, whereas men have nowhere to turn, and so they continue killing partners at the same rate. And which really shows what a nonsense the whole enterprise, the whole domestic violence industry is. It doesn't protect women at all. If anything, it protects men.
For every two women that die, we never look at the other figure, one man also dies. I realised it wasn't a gender issue. And I knew that from personal experience, because although both my parents were violent, dysfunctional, my mother was physically a lot more violent to me than my father. So I came to the whole subject with an open mind. And as I took the women in, I looked at the first 100 women that had came in with their children. And of the first 100, 62 could be described as violent as the partners that they left. So it never has been a gender issue.
By refusing to see domestic violence as it so obviously is, and choosing instead to see it as some kind of male disease. By backing men into a corner when dealing with violent women. And by refusing to recognise any responsibility of women in domestic violence, the domestic violence industry has failed in its stated mission of helping women. So who has it helped? What has all the legislation and advertising done? Where has all the money gone? As always with such things that don't appear to make sense, we must ask ourselves why the domestic violence roadshow is happening. We come back to cui bono, who benefits? Why are certain individuals and groups so intent on destroying any concept of individual responsibility and determined to destroy intimate relationships? Who is purposely misleading the public about the alleged crimes of men? Who is intent on justifying the expenditure of public resources, which would be better used elsewhere, or better still, not taxed from the people in the first place? We need to be following the money trail. This trail leads directly to the heads of charities. It leads to an expansionist, tax-and-spend government. It leads to a police force that's determined to increase its funding and its power by bringing the family into the criminal arena. It leads to the legal profession, which receives most of its income through bitter family disputes. It leads to the bosses of news outlets and magazines. It leads to the army of experts and professionals in domestic violence. Domestic violence is a feeding frenzy, where many people and agencies make a very good living out of the imagined suffering of women and the imagined evil of men.
For domestic violence that actually does exist, as long as we deny that women cause at least as much violence as men do, there'll never be any help for them or any sanction against their behaviour. And the cycle of domestic violence within those families will continue.
Violent people are violent, be they men or women, and quite simply, if you look at what happens in a violent family, all the children are infected. This idea that the feminists try to put about, which only boys inherit the violence through the violent behaviour, is rubbish. Girls are equally affected.